Today, Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim welcome you to the Believer's Voice of Victory for their continuing study of the prophetic book of Daniel. Join them as they look into the prophecies that reference our present day. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim is with us today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we're learning about what's going to happen between now and the time of the end.
But you know what happened 72 years ago today?
I do.
You got born. Do you mind people knowing?
Well, I apparently not. No, I don't mind.
I don't mind, Gloria.
I was born in my granddaddy's house in a back bedroom.
Yeah.
72 years ago.
And God has brought you up and put you on this globe as a teacher of the Word of God into people's homes. Think about it, Gloria. I'm not at all concerned. I'm 74.
Well, you're always going to be older than me.
Yeah, always be older than you. But here's what I say. I do not. I think that in our profession, age is a great attribute.
Well, the longer
and we've
you live,
learned
the more. You learn.
And I used to love to be around those who knew more, Gloria. And you've been such a blessing to people on this earth.
Thank you, Billy.
And Kenneth Copeland Ministries is such a blessing. And right now,
praise God.
I can't tell you how thankful I am that they let me be on here and talk about the good things of God in these last days.
Hallelujah.
And how we find ourselves in the Scriptures and what we have to look forward to and how to live by faith.
We've talked about the old-timers.
And now we are
the
one.
Old-timers.
But, you know, I'm not going to do this at the end, but I really wish that that you would just write a note and just say how thankful you are for Gloria.
That's sweet.
And that God anointed
that.
Her and
Those
include a big words. Offering for the ministry.
Oh, my word. Oh, okay.
A big birthday offering for Gloria for the ministry.
Thank you.
I thank
really.
You, Glo. And I'm so glad you're my dear friend.
We've been friends
Gloria's
for a long time.
One of my best friends, I'm telling you. And I told my little granddaughter, Hannah, the other day, Hannah, get you some really close friends that you can share your heart with.
Yes, that's right.
And share the word with, and they can share back to you.
We've got
you
some
know.
Good friends, don't
oh,
we?
Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so I'm thankful that we're getting to be here while we're looking for Jesus.
Amen.
And we're looking for signs of His coming, and they're coming real soon. And we're going to be looking at them, especially as we go a little further
Praise
along.
God.
But since Daniel's so involved, and when we get to Daniel 9, then we're going to start talking about the blood moons, and we're going to start talking about the signs that we see of the soon approach of Jesus.
Praise God!
And during the times of the Gentiles,
Jesus is coming.
Only the book of Daniel saw all of it, and as the times of the Gentiles. And so Daniel had two dreams of the times of the Gentiles. The first one's recorded for us in Daniel chapter 7 and 7 and 8. He said the fourth empire is the Roman Empire. He saw the Roman Empire in its first manifestation. In the book of John, the Revelator, the book of the Revelation, John the Revelator saw the revived Roman Empire. They are the same, but he saw it in its first part, and he saw it, Daniel 7:7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. The iron teeth here correspond with the iron legs of Nebuchadnezzar's image. So they're together. It was different. It stamped the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It does not resemble any beast that he ever saw. The iron teeth of Rome crushed nations and devoured them for the good of Rome, as one's teeth crush food for the good of the physical body. Art Scrolls has a note on this. The fourth beast did not resemble any known beast. The Roman Empire dwarfed every nation known to history. Rome's military power, its genius in administration, and its cleverness in dealing brook no comparison. Never had an empire held sway over so much foreign territory for so long a time. When I read that, so long a time, I thought, now how long? How did it start? How did this Roman Empire start? It started with tribes, and then that evolved to city-states, and then to a republic, and then with power falling into the hands of a few, it became an empire. Even from the time of the republic, it began to take in other provinces and huge territories. How long did it last? Depends on when you count and what you count. But at least it lasted 700 to 800 years.
That's a long time.
And so it devoured a lot. Now, the 10 horns on this, of course, are going to correspond to the 10 toes on Nebuchadnezzar's. Now, here's the first mention we're going to have of the one that later came to be called the Antichrist. Daniel 7:8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom the first three were plucked, three of the first were plucked up, so on. This is the first mention. And we see him mentioned here. Once the Lord told me, don't be concerned about talking about the Antichrist. Every place I mention him, I show that he gets judged. So the next few verses, 9 through 14, Daniel sees the judgment come. I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. And so as you read Daniel 9 through 14, you're going to read how it turns out. You're going to see the judgment. You're going to see the judge, the father, take his seat. And you're going to see the King Messiah receive the kingdom. Bless the Lord. Daniel 7:15, he was troubled about this dream. I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. The Hebrew actually says, my spirit was uneasy in its sheath. Mm-hmm. And so God
sent... That's an interesting way to say it.
And that's my spirit... That your body is a sheath for your spirit.
I had never noticed that before.
Well, it's in the art scrolls, But that's what the Hebrew says. My body, my spirit was uneasy in its sheath. The spirit's the real you.
I had never heard the body that I remember called
the sheath. That's that's because you didn't read Hebrew. I didn't either.
Don't rub it in.
I found it in the art scrolls, and you could find it there too. But then 7:16. I came near unto one of them that stood by. There are some heavenly interpreters. They're going to interpret the dream. And I asked him the truth of all this. And so the interpretation is the times of the Gentiles. Daniel 7:17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise up out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
And now we're going to find... Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, verse 19, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful. And of the 10 horns, 7:20. And I beheld, and he sees the little horn come forth, Daniel 7:21. I beheld, and the same horn, the little horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them.
Now, who is the little horn?
The little horn's the Antichrist. But who are the saints? That's the question. It's not us. We're not in here. We're not in the book of Daniel. There's some space left for the church, but the church is not here. The little horn makes war with the saints. The saints are the Jewish remnant who are there at the time. The whole book of Daniel has to do with the Jews, has to do with God's holy city. We'll see it later. So this war with the saints is not you and me.
Okay.
The little horn, during the time of the Antichrist, makes war with the saints, and those saints are the Jewish remnant. Daniel 7:22, but then the Ancient of Days came and judgment was handed to him. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So you can read on to the end of that chapter, and we're going to go on to chapter 8. Chapter 8, Daniel gets his second vision. In this second vision, he's going to see the last three of the empires. He's living in the first one, and he's going to see it's about to be overthrown. Daniel 8:1, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, Babylon, a vision appeared unto me. Second verse, I was in Shushan in the palace in the province of Persia, and I saw in a vision. From here on, this book is written in Hebrew. It has been written in Chaldean, or Aramaic, rather, which the Chaldeans spoke the other parts. That's another thing we won't go into, but though it is still the Babylonian time, Daniel's not living in the capital city. He's over in the province of Persia, but he sees that Babylon's about to be overthrown. Daniel 8:3, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, and no beast could stand before him. He did according to his will and became great. So he's living in the Babylonian time, but he sees these two horns on the ram, they are corresponding to the two arms on Nebuchadnezzar's silver metallic arms he saw on that metallic image. It's the Medo-Persians. The stronger are the Persians, but the Medes came up first. And Darius the Mede ruled first. And so as then he saw that overthrown, he saw that this was about to happen. Then he sees the next beast, which is a he-goat, Alexander the Great. Verse 5, Daniel 8, verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came up from the west on the face of the earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, ran into him. So Alexander the Great is going to run into the Persian Empire, and he's going to overthrow it. Daniel 8, 8, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Alexander the Great is the great horn, but it got broken. He died at the age of 32, and his kingdom was divided up between his four generals, the little horn. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, the Antichrist, which waxed exceedingly great. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. He magnified himself, and when he comes, he will do this. A host was given him against the daily sacrifice, verse 12, by reason of transgression. And so the Antichrist is coming. And Daniel, again, is troubled by this, and God sends Gabriel to interpret it. Now listen to this. This is amazing me. Verse 15, Gabriel the angel comes. And it came to pass when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. How'd you like to have Gabriel come and interpret your dreams?
That would be cool.
I think you could figure that it was in the right interpretation. And a man stood before me, and I heard his voice. Verse 16, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And this word end is kites, and it's the end of the times of the Gentiles and the arrival of the King Messiah. It's not the end of time, but it's the end of the times of the Gentiles. That's what all this is about, the times of the Gentiles. Now, as he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, I'll make you to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Now, Gabriel tells him who these empires are before they come. And Gabriel says in Daniel 8:20, the ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of the Medes and the Persians. The rough goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. So he gives him the history before it happens and tells him who they are.
Interesting.
Now, Alexander the Great, amazing young man, took Tyre. Tyre was considered to be an impregnable city-state on an island surrounded by rocks. But God had prophesied it was going to be overthrown in Ezekiel 28, and it was, by Alexander. Now, in those days, these big armies had to travel slowly. And Alexander, even though it says he moved fast with rapidity, you still had time to know he's on the way. And so when he came down and he took took Tyre, and then he took Gaza, and he headed toward Israel. And when he headed toward Israel, the high priest got scared. I have this down for you, Gloria, here. I took a copy. This is from Josephus in the Antiquities of the Jews, and he relates this. When the 7 months of the siege of Tyre were over, took Alexander 7 months, and the 2 months of the siege of Gaza, these aren't really very far away from Jerusalem, Lebanon and and then Gaza. Now, Alexander, when he had taken Gaza, made haste to go up to Jerusalem. And Jaddua, the high priest of Israel, when he heard that, was in an agony and under terror, as not knowing how he should meet the Macedonian. I mean, they're heading your way. Alexander the Great, he took Tyre, and Tyre was untakeable. And he's headed toward Jerusalem. So the high priest ordained that the people of Israel, should make supplication and join with him in offering sacrifices to God, whom he sought to protect that nation and to deliver them from the perils that were coming upon them. This is Josephus, the historian, who wrote about this. Whereupon God warned him in a dream, God warned the high priest, which came upon him after he'd offered sacrifice, that he should take courage and adorn the city, decorate it, and open the gates. Not close them, open them. He wasn't afraid. I mean, this guy that's taken the whole earth is headed their way, and he's had a dream from God. He prayed and sought God. God said, don't worry, open the gates. God takes care of his own. That the rest should appear in white garments. He said, open the gates, have all the people of Israel come and have them wear white. And that he and the priest should meet the king, Alexander, in the habits proper to their order, without dread of any ill consequences. God never changes. He takes care of his own. He's taking care of us, which the providence of God would prevent. Upon which, when he rose from his sleep, the high priest greatly rejoiced. He believed God and declared to all the warning he had received from God, according to which dream he acted entirely, and so he waited for the coming of the king Alexander the Great. And when he understood that he was not far from the city of Jerusalem, he went out in procession with the priests and the multitude of citizens, several million, all dressed in white. The procession was venerable and the manner of it different from that of all other nations. Every other nation where Alexander had gone were cowering in fear. But this nation opens their gates, all dressed in white, and go out to meet him. And they meet him at a place, a prospect, where you had a good view of the temple. And when the Phoenicians, that would be the people who lived in Lebanon, and the Chaldeans, that would be the people who lived in Babylon, that followed Alexander, thought they would have liberty to plunder the city of Jerusalem and torment the high priest to death, which the king's displeasure fairly promised them. They knew how Alexander was. We're going to get to go in there. We're going to get to take the gold. We're going to get to take everything from them. But the very reverse happened. For Alexander, when he saw the multitude at a distance in white garments, while the priest stood clothed with fine linen and the high priest in purple and scarlet clothing with his mitre on his head, having the golden plate whereon the name of God was, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Alexander ran to them and adored that name and saluted the high priest. The kings of Syria and Lebanon and all the ones that Alexander had conquered already were surprised at what Alexander did and supposed him disordered in his mind. One man alone named Parmenio went up to him and asked him that how, when all others adored him, every time they went into a place, they bowed down to Alexander, how come it is you're adoring the high priest of the Jews? To whom Alexander replied, I do not adore him, but the God who has honored him with his high priesthood. For I saw this very person in a dream, in this very habit, these very clothes, when I was in Macedonia, when I was considering how I might take dominion of Asia. And he had a dream from this God who advised him to make no delay, but to pass over the sea, that I would give you dominion over the Persians. And he saw that scene in his dream. He saw the high priest and all the people in white, Alexander. Remembering that vision and the exhortation which I had in my dream, I believe that I bring this army under the divine conduct and that he gave me the power to destroy Darius and the Persians. And when he had said this to Parmenio and had given the high priest his right hand, because Parmenio thought he was crazy, but he said, no, I saw this in a dream. And that God told me that I could conquer the Medes and the Persians. So God gives, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. He gave Alexander the Great a dream. He can give your enemies a dream, and mine, and the United States, and and the people that follow him. He's a God. He never changes. He is the God. So he gave his hand to the high priest, and all the other priests came running along. And they went into the temple, and they made sacrifice magnificently. And listen to this. Listen to this. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And when the book of Daniel was showed him, wherein Daniel declared that one of the Greeks should destroy the empire of the Persians, he supposed that himself was the person intended. And he dealt well with Israel. He has a note down here. This ancient 2,000 years ago writer, Josephus, put a note. The place showed Daniel might be, the place showed Alexander might be Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. Can you imagine? We just read Daniel 8, where Gabriel said, this is the one, it's Greece. He said, this is Greece, and they're going to overthrow the Medes and the Persians. That would make a believer out of you, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So God has the ability to take from the prophets and to show what's going to happen. You don't leave out the God factor in these end of days.
No, no.
And the God factor is showing us signs in the heavens. And we're going to look at them without fear.
Praise God.
And we're going to really, you read Daniel chapter 9 tomorrow, for tomorrow, and we're going to go into, now we're going to get a good view from which we watch the signs
Praise
in the heavens.
God. Ooh, you don't want to miss that. Billy and I'll be right back.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. As you fight the good fight of faith today, remember this, your mind is where the battle will take place. Whatever you allow to dominate your mind will rule your life. Will it be the Word of God or the lies of Satan? The decision is yours. Satan will try to tell you that your situation is hopeless, but if you don't buy his lies, he can't cause them to come to pass in your life. God has promised that he will always cause you to triumph in Christ. Make up your mind right now that you are a winner. Spread the knowledge of victory in Christ everywhere you go.
From the beginning of time until today, God has placed signs, seasons, and cycles in motion to guide his people throughout the generations. God has everything under control. Understand his calendar for the last days and build your faith with the Signs of the Times package. Billy Brim's series, God's Calendar and Upcoming Eclipses, reveals Israel as the timekeeper of prophecy. Discover the importance of God's appointed times and seasons. Find out where the Jews, the church, and the nations fit on his calendar. Learn the importance of the seven-year biblical cycle. See how scripture, science, and history align in John Hagee's book, Four Blood Moons. Find out why NASA labeled the eclipses blood moons and what is about to happen that will change everything. Be expectant. Jesus is coming soon, and God has a message for you in the Signs of the Times. Be sure to order the Sign of the Times package for only $29.99 at a savings of 25%. Bring clarity to your study of end time events and understand God's timetable with Billy Brim's teaching on CD or DVD entitled God's Calendar and Upcoming Eclipses, plus John Hagee's book Four Blood Moons. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 for an additional 10% off. Order your package online.
We believe Jesus himself is soon to return. And today can be the day of your salvation. If you've never received Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, you haven't lived yet. And if you've never done that, just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it. Glory to God. I know that prayer works because that's the prayer I prayed. I didn't know any other prayer to pray, but that's what came out. Glory to God.
And if you, the moment you give your heart to Jesus, you receive him as your Lord and Savior, something happens on the inside of you called the new birth. And you are not the same person you used to be. Now, as the new person on the inside has to grow up and learn the things of God, you need to spend time in the Word. You need to watch the broadcasts and other broadcasts that teach you the Word. And we want to send you absolutely free the Salvation Package, a book called He Did It All For You. Hallelujah. It's a marvelous thing that you've done today. My life was never the same once I received Jesus as Lord. He took over, and oh, what a fine job he's done with me. I've had a most wonderful, healthy, blessed, prosperous life since I made him the Lord, and you will too, because that's what he came for, to deliver us from the curse. Now, if you did that today, we want to send you some brochures on how to study your Bible, and you need to get you a Bible and begin to read it every day. So request your free salvation package on kcm.org. If you have a testimony, let us know. We want to rejoice with you. Glory to God. And we give him all the glory. Billy and I'll be back again tomorrow, and we'll be hearing more great things about the future that is to come. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Learn who you are in Christ and how to begin your new life in victory. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org. Jesus did it all for you. Receive his love and experience the good life God has for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org. Continue to grow in God's Word with this week's Believer's Voice of Victory, available at kcm.org for purchase, streaming, or download. Let God's grace abound toward you and live in the blessing.
There's nothing hard about faith. Faith is really easy. It's just simply believing what God's already said, instead of what somebody else said. Fear believes what somebody else said. Faith believes what God's already said.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2014 Branson Victory Campaign, February 27th to March 1st with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2014 Southwest Believers Convention, June 30th through July 5th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. The 2014 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through 15th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
He's coming. Praise
everybody
God. And we love him so dearly. And he's giving us signs. I watch prophecy and watch the nations. And of course, we see so many signs there. But he's given us some signs in the heavens now.